Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for listening in. My name is Linda Mooney. This is Other Worlds of Romance on Blog Talk Radio, and tonight I have as my return guest author, Shauna Reppert. Hi, Shauna. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing just great, Linda.
And are you staying warm?
It's actually pretty pleasant out here in Oregon. It's, high 50s, low 60s.
Oh, that's not bad. That's really not bad. And all. Yep. So did you have a good Valentine's Day?
I had a quiet Valentine's Day. I don't much do the Valentine's Day thing.
We had a nice quiet one too. And it's kind of funny because most people think that people who write romance novels, they have these big, elaborate, romantic Valentines and whatever, and it's like, nah, we're just...
Some of us are single.
So, Shauna's going to be reading tonight from Raven's Heart, which is book 3 of her Raven's Blood series. And if you're not familiar with her Raven's Blood series, please check it out. Book 1 is Raven's Blood. Book 2 is Raven's Wing. And, of course, tonight is Raven's Heart. And you can find out about all of those books at her website, which is Shauna, Shawna, dash Reppert, Reppert.com. Now, after she reads her excerpt, if you'd like to call in and talk with Shauna, please do. Our number is 646-727-2932. Or I have the chat room open. You're more than welcome to come in and listen there. If you have a question for her, you can type it in there, and I'd be more than happy to relay it. Or if you're listening from the Internet, you can email me your question to her, linda@lindamooney.com, and I'd be more than happy to pass it along. Now, for those of you who don't know, Shauna is an award-winning author of fantasy and steampunk. She's proud with the fact that she keeps her readers up all night and makes them miss work deadlines. She believes that fiction should ask questions for which there are no easy answers, while at the same time taking the reader on a fine adventure that grips them heart and soul and keeps them turning pages until the very end. Definitely give this author a chance, one reader said. Her storytelling will draw you in. Her style is just a hint of Andre Norton, a dash of J.K. Rowling, and the tiniest pinch of Anne Rice, and the rest is her own unique stamp. Her debut novel, The Stolen Luck, won a silver medal for Original World Fantasy in the Global eBooks Awards and an Epi for Fantasy Romance. The first two books of her Raven's Blood urban fantasy series won gold medals for contemporary fantasy. And the much-awaited sequel, Raven's Heart, which she's reading from tonight, was released on February 6th. So it's brand new out. Shauna's love of live Irish music and dance frequently influences her work. Her four-footed children are a Lipizzan stallion, and a black and orange cat named Samhain, who occasionally takes over her blog. Shauna also likes to play with the society for creative chronism and can sometimes be found in medieval garb on a caparisoned horse throwing javelins throwing javelins into innocent hay bales that never did anything to her. She grew up in Pennsylvania and now lives in the beautiful wine country of Oregon, and each has colored her writing in different ways. All right. And, of course, the society, the SCA that you're into, what do you normally dress as? It says you're in medieval garb, but is there any in particular kind of costume that you prefer?
I kind of use whatever is cheap, convenient, and good for the weather. I don't have a set persona. I'm kind of a fringy. So a lot of times I have a horseman's tunic, which is like basically a Norman tunic, split front and back, and riding breeches. I do have a couple dresses with really full skirts that I can ride in as well.
Goodness, because I have friends that do the festivals, the fests every year, and
yes.
One goes as a fairy, and you know, with the wings and everything that, and the magic wand and all.
SDA doesn't. We don't do fairies. It's supposed to be based a little closer to reality, although that's about the only thing you don't see are wings.
And she her husband, he dresses up. He looks like the Black Knight. I mean, he reminds me of the old movie Robin Hood. And the Black Knight that was played by Alan, went blank.
Yes,
the one
Alan
that
Rickman,
said,
yes.
Alan Rickman, yes.
Nottingham.
The one that says, you know, and cancel Christmas.
Yes. Yes.
And
he
looks just like that guy.
Of course he's married, yes. Of course he has to be married because they always are.
And all. So, but yeah, people come up to him, you know, and he does the whole spiel, you know, he just kind of grins and he grimaces and he kind of growls and all, and he says, you know, don't touch me unless I tell you you may, you know, or bow at my feet, you know, that kind of thing. And I just crack up. I think it's so funny. All right, we're going to get back to you. Raven's Heart is book 3. And I was going to ask you, is there going to be a book 4?
Yes. At this point, the Raven's Heart finishes kind of the central story arc, but there's so much in this world, so the later books that are coming out after this are going to be more like kind of urban fantasy police procedurals. The fourth book, you start to find out more about Cassandra's boss's backstory, Sherlock's backstory, and Raven gets to be the one who's bailing someone else out when their dark past comes to light. So it's kind of a bit of a turnaround there.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I'm going to go ahead and turn the floor over to you, and you can tell us, you can give us the blurb for Raven's Heart, and then go on into the excerpt and kind of give us an idea where you're going to be reading from in the excerpt. So take it away, Shauna.
Okay, so the blurb, which I actually remembered to bring this time, the reformed dark mage Corwin Ravenscroft, Raven, has finally found his place in the world. He has a fiance, friends, and meaningful work. Yet a shadow hangs over everything. His former master, the darkest and most powerful mage of their time, the man he betrayed, the man he thought he had killed, still lives. William is determined to destroy everything, everyone and everything that Raven ever loved. Will Raven find a way to defeat him once and for all? Or will he see the life that he has built crumble around him as William once again rises to threaten the three communities, perhaps even the world? Yeah, sorry about that. I printed everything out in large print except that, so it'll get better from here. So where we're picking this up, for those of you who haven't read the first two books of the Raven's Blood series, were in a very alternate version of the Pacific Northwest. Magic is real and openly acknowledged. Raven's Heart is the third full novel in the series. There is a novella as well that came out as part of the best-selling anthology. Forgive the spoilers for those of you who haven't read the first two books yet, but I wanted to set the stage. So as we begin the story, Cass and Raven are engaged. Cass works for Guardian International Investigations. GII handles the complicated cases that are beyond the scope and abilities of the local Guardians. Several nights ago, while Cass was away on GII business, Raven went out to the opera with his friend Josiah the bookseller, and on the way home encountered an abandoned kitten getting soaked in the rain. It was a case of powerful former versus scrawny stray kitten in a battle of wills. As you might expect, the kitten won. So as the section begins, Cass is just getting home from her trip. Though it was nearly noon, she found the paper on the porch and Raven at the breakfast table. Her lover had never been one for early mornings. He wore a deep blue smoking jacket that would have looked utterly ridiculous on most men, but seemed perfectly right on Raven, especially here in the breakfast room of the house his ancestors had built. The color complemented his black hair and dark eyes, and the style revealed a bare chest beneath. There was so much to her lover, keen intelligence, dry humor, complicated and difficult past, that was easy to forget that he was also a stunningly beautiful man. And, sorry, paper issues here. She paused for a moment in the doorway, admiring his cheekbones and the strong, raptor-like nose that gave his face character and kept it from the realm of the too pretty. He noticed her scrutiny and looked up, asking with his eyes what she was studying. Even as she smiled and shook her head, she started to consider how best to persuade him back to bed and whether or not she would let him finish his breakfast first. As she crossed the room to kiss him hello, something small and white skittered across the floor, and she jumped back with a start. "How did a cat get in?" "Oh," she finished, looking down the hall to the kitchen from where the kitten had come. Two small stainless steel bowls lined up neatly next to the Evercool box. One contained water, the other dry cat food. "This is sudden," she ventured, sitting across from him at the table and stealing a slice of his toast. "I never knew you wanted a pet. What's its name?" "Nuisance," he said without looking up from buttering the remaining slice of toast. "I brought the paper in," she said, handing it to him before scooping up the kitten, which was scaling her jeans, and settling it on her lap. As he unfolded the paper, she started to get acquainted with the kitten. It was an odd little thing, with mismatched, irregular blotches of color on its coat, and a strange, angular face. Possibly a Siamese had had something to do with its genetics way back, but it lacked any semblance of Siamese elegance. Funny, she would have imagined him with a sleek purebred, a Burmese or a Bombay, if she imagined him with any kind of cat at all. There was more to the story. There had to be. But she knew from experience that patience would bring it out soonest. Undoubtedly, the tale would be worth the wait. Raven dropped both the paper and his toast. Oh, gods! It had gone white. Cold washed over her. What is it? Wordlessly, he handed the unfolded paper so she could read the full headline. "Burned body found in bookseller's shop in Uptown Shopping District. Dark magic suspected." The picture showed Josiah's books cordoned off with police tape. Out of the corner of her eye, Cass saw a light flashing red in the living room. Her message crystal, and red meant urgent. She returned the paper to the table and tapped the crystal to activate it. "Cass here." "Cass, have you and Raven seen the paper?" "Sherlock, Cass's boss. Given name Abigail Andrews." Her crisp Anglian accent always became more pronounced when she was stressed. By the sound of it, something big was going down. Just now, we haven't made it much past the headlines. It wasn't Josiah, she said. The local guardians managed to reach him. He thinks it must be the clerk closed for him Saturday. But they won't know for sure until the dental records come back. Cass breathed a little easier. The news was still horrible, but her job called for a certain objectivity about death. Had the victim been the quiet little mundane bookseller who had stood by them through the whole recent debacle with the Archmage, she would have lost that objectivity. As it was, the murder of one of Josiah's employees in the bookstore where Raven spent so much time hit a little close to home. Anyway, the locals asked for you specifically, you armed Raven. If this was William or one of his people, there's a chance Raven might recognize the magical signature from the old days. From the old days, when Raven was William's right hand. Raven's here too, Cass said, feeling rather than seeing her lover moving to stand behind her. Do they have reason to suspect William's involvement? The corpse was standing behind the counter, posed by stasis magic. William's calling card, Raven, swore softly. Who's on the case from the locals? Cass asked. Though it made sense to bring Raven in, guardians were seldom sensible when it came to Raven. Too much history. Nor were they particularly fond of bringing Guardian International investigations in on what they considered to be their turf. She had not forgotten the time they had called Raven in, only to set him up for an arrest. She swore that would never happen to him again, not if she had anything to do with it. Ray Ramirez, Sherlock said. Behind her, Raven let out the breath he'd been holding. Not too long ago, Ramirez on the case would only have made them worry more. He was, after all, the one who had tried to arrest Raven at the council building, and for a crime he knew the Raven hadn't committed. But he was one of those rare men who could admit when he'd made a mistake. He and Raven would never be friends, but they'd come to an understanding. Ramirez was the only one, beside the two of them, who knew that Raven held the Raven's blood. Knew it because he had, of his own initiative, smuggled it out of the evidence room and given it to Raven. She'd been in the hospital at the time, and Raven hadn't talked about the circumstances beyond the barest of facts. He'd also not mentioned the legal bills on his desk, the ones for Ramirez's defense against corruption charges stemming from the Archmage affair. She knew them both well enough to know that, whatever had passed between them, it had not been quid pro quo. We'll be there, Raven said. Give me a minute to dress. It wouldn't take him much more than that. While Raven normally tended towards slow, indolent mornings, he could be as quick and efficient as any guardian when the situation demanded. They teleported to the scene. Raven spent enough time in the bookstore to take himself to its doors as easily as to his own home, and Cass used him as an anchor to follow. Rafe stood outside the shop, collar of his fashionably cut black leather jacket turned up against the wind. Ravenscroft, he greeted as Raven approached. Her lover stiffened for a moment, then smiled with false sweetness. Raphael. Rafe Ramirez hated his full first name as much as Raven hated being addressed by his surname. Ramirez's eyes narrowed a moment, but then he nodded in rueful acknowledgement of the touché. Cass shook her head. Boys. You know what we have, Rafe asked both of them. Sherlock briefed us, Cass said. Best get to it then, the guardian said. It's pretty grim, but I know you've both seen a lot. He raised the yellow police tape for them to duck under and opened the door to the shop. The bell on the shop jangled merrily, a sound Raven had heard so many times before. The unmistakable smell of burnt flesh hit him like a wall. Perhaps he should have been prepared for the scent, but nothing could have prepared him for his body's visceral reaction to it. His stomach lurched, and he had to grab a nearby bookshelf for support. God, what was wrong with him? It was hardly his first time to face a corpse immolated by magic. Times past, he had been present for the deaths, heard the screams. Had he shown this sort of weakness before William, he'd have been the next victim. It can hit you like that, Ramirez said from behind, beside him, his sympathy a surprise, especially when it's closer to home. And that was it, he realized. The juxtaposition of the worst of his old life with the place he associated with the contentment and safety of the new. He nodded acknowledgement of Ramirez's statement. Cassandra's hand was on his arm in mute support. All right, he said after a moment. Let's get this bastard. Ramirez led him forward, and he saw it. Horribly burned, flesh a mass of charred black and red. Posed by stasis magic behind the counter, as if waiting to serve the next customer. Raven shut down the thought that he might well have bought books from this very clerk on one of those rare days when Josiah had been away from the store. He focused instead on the reason he had been called in. The M.O. was very much William's, but another had used it before to throw the guardians off the track. He closed his eyes and felt for the magical signature. It was one he was well familiar with. Bloody Eric, he told Cassandra and Ramirez. William's cousin, and, with Raven's defection, probably his right-hand man. There would be only one reason for them to target a small independent bookseller in the Nob Hill district. They knew about Josiah's friendship with him. Damn. And again, there.
Oh, very somber. Very. Oh, wow. Now, I have to ask you, what is the importance of Raven's blood? Because you mentioned that Raven had taken the vial of Raven's blood.
Well, it's not a vial. It is a gem. It's a magically imbued gem. So it augments the user's magical abilities in proportion to their abilities. So the stronger the mage is, it's like basically raising something to the power of two or the power of eight. The bigger the number, the bigger the raise. So it was kind of and it has to be, someone has to have some sort of a connection to the Ravenscroft family to use it successfully. So that's been a plot point in the past.
Now, Cassandra's not, she's not a mage, is she?
Oh, yes, she is. Very much.
Oh,
so.
She is?
Yes,
oh, okay.
Guardians are magical law enforcement, so they're sort of like mages who use magic in the law enforcement. And she's also quite scholarly. She's very much Raven's, not equal, but very much his counter.
Okay, but
yeah,
is she just as powerful as he?
A mundane. Pardon?
Is she just as powerful as he is?
Close to. She's younger than he is, and she was his apprentice at one point. So, I mean, neither of them, they don't get into, excuse the language, pissing contests about who's more powerful. But Raven assumes that her powers develop, she's going to be his equal or close to. She's probably, after William, you know, if you wanted to rank mages of the world, you know, after William would be Raven, and after Raven, close third would be Cass.
We have Olivia sent us an email, and she said, I love your books. When will book four come out?
Right now, I'm hoping for approximately a year. I have another book coming out this summer-ish. I haven't set an exact date for starting a new series. So it's going to be a steampunk Victorian detective novel series. And book four at this point is a little more than a twinkle in my eye, but I'm pretty committed to getting the books out. So.
Okay. Do you have a title?
No, I'm still fighting with that one. So if anyone has suggestions, please Facebook me. I'm easy to find on Facebook or Twitter because my real name and my writing name is the same. So if you stick me in Google. Mm-hmm. I'm the only Shauna Redford out there that comes up. Yeah, but I'm taking suggestions at this point.
I've got to ask you about this steampunk series that you're going to start. Do you have a title for it? Because I'm interested.
Yes. A Hunt by Moonlight is the first book, and the other books are going to probably have moon somewhere in the title because it involves werewolves.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, I'm going to kind of turn this on the head a little bit, and you and I are both in a collection of stories called the Here Be Magic Box Set.
Yes.
And it has 8 stories in it, and it's 99 cents, guys. I mean, check it out. 8 novellas for 99 cents. The Here Be Magic box set, you can't miss it, has this beautiful woman in a red cape on the cover. But, Shauna, why don't you give them just a taste of what your story is about?
Okay, so Raven's Song, which is a novella in there, it's set between Raven's Blood and Raven's Wing. So it's right after Raven's won his pardon. He's just starting to work kind of sub rosa for Guardian International. They're kind of bringing some cases to him that they can't handle on their own. And in this novel, Cass is actually away, so he's kind of been running interference between him and the Guardian International, and he's got to deal with them directly. There is an opera singer that's being stalked, and if you know my personal history, I take stalking very seriously. And Raven happens to be an opera fan. So even though the Guardian he's working with pisses him off time and time again, he, you know, is very committed to this. And he finally kind of comes to something of respect between himself and Davison, who is actually a character that shows up in Raven's Wing. Actually, he's mostly a name in Raven's Wing, but I kind of, you know how, like, as an author, you know your whole backstory, even if the character is just a name. And I just love that character so much, and I wanted to showcase him a little bit. So it's kind of Raven's, you know, still working on figuring out who he is in his new life and what he's doing. And, yeah.
And
that,
well,
I can't really
I knew
too
that,
much more without giving away the
yeah,
ending.
Yeah, I know. But I knew that it related back to this series that we're talking about tonight. And that's why I wanted to bring it up because it does fit into the Raven's universe. So if you want to start off by reading, getting the 99-cent box set and checking out Raven's Song, you can do that, and I'm sure it'll get you hooked on buying the rest of the series because it's just that good. Shauna, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. And, hey, when your steampunk, when it comes out, give me a holler. I definitely want to hear about that one with the werewolves and the steampunk. That's going to be amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So my name is Linda Mooney. thank you for listening in tonight, and thank you for your questions. Y'all take care. Have a wonderful evening, and we'll see you again. Good night, everybody, and bye-bye. And we're done. Hey.
Wow, it always goes so fast.
It does. Well, it's, you know, we're sitting here, we're talking about something that just oh, it just sends chills down your spine. When I listened to your reading from that, and I thought, oh, you know, it's like, okay, red light. Here we go. I can just see it in my mind's eye. I could just, when you're describing it. So, but I wish you lots of luck on this book, and it sounds very, very intriguing. And like I said, get in touch with me when you get started with your next series, because I'd love to have you back on the show. You're great.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. I love this show. It's so much fun.
Well, it's you help make it fun. So thank you again for coming.
Thank you.
And we'll see you online, okay?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Talk
care
later.
And stay warm. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Okay,
good night.
Bye-bye. Bye.